Let's just say a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to come together as your brothers and sisters, as brothers and sisters in Christ, to come to you this morning and remember that it's an upside down world. So upside down, in fact, that our Savior was a little baby, and the meekness and purity of a baby is exactly how you've asked us to live our hearts out into the world. And let us remember that as we go out this week. For this hour, let's just have an opportunity to be with you and near you and hear your message, whether through song, whether through something Pastor Troy says, whether through the lighting of the Advent candle, whatever it is, let us hear what you want us to hear. Let us open our hearts to hear it. Amen.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the sky. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, live with healing in his wings. Mighty lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give the second birth. Glory reign, shining like the day, King of heaven come. King of heaven rise up, who can stand against us? You are strong to save in your mighty name, King of heaven come. Your glory reign, shining like the day, King of heaven come.
And the people of God said,
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. We're telling a worship service at 8 o'clock. This is sort of like that 1980s NBC late night show they used to have on called Unplugged, where they would have great musical performers, and they would unplug from all the high-tech stuff, and they just would gather in an intimate setting. It's sort of cool to we hear the voices each week, but this just allows the voices to come out in such a powerful way, and for us to be the angelic choir of Christ here. So we thank the praise team for this this mode today, and the mode is made necessary because this afternoon at 3 o'clock, the choir and orchestra will offer the Christmas cantata at 3 o'clock this afternoon. So please make every effort to come back out for that. Bring a guest or two or three along, and know that there are refreshments after that. Again, this afternoon, 3 o'clock here in the sanctuary. This morning, the youth are having their cookie walk in the Family Life Center. It's part of their missions ministry fundraising that they do for missions work and also to help with scholarships for the retreats that they go on. Cookie walk, let your feet do the walking and your eyes do the purchasing of cookies to fill your belly today, and proceeds again benefit the youth ministry. A couple other things to bring to your attention. The blue sheet in your folder has the Lee Leadership Report. Our church conference meeting, all members have voice and vote, is this Thursday evening, 7 o'clock in the Family Life Center. That's 7 o'clock Thursday evening. Again, members have voice and vote. It's the annual business administration meeting of the church. Church council meets right after that, but the church conference convenes at 7 o'clock. Next week is the Living Nativity, 6 o'clock outside in the parking lot area, and do you have a door hanger that you can take and use as an instrument of invitation to family, a neighbor, friends, co-workers? I encourage them to come on out for that next Sunday at 6 o'clock. If you're a guest among us today, we invite you to use the yellow, light yellow insert to let us know who you are and how we might follow up with you with a card or a note of appreciation for offering your presence with us today. And finally, I'm going to ask Cole to get the 40 Days of Prayer video ready. There's an insert in regarding the our new calendar year 6-week study that we'll be doing in January. 40 Days of Prayer, we're looking for persons that are willing to be facilitators. You don't have to teach. There's a DVD that goes along with the prayer journal and booklet. You basically just have to have a TV and a DVD player. You can do it in your home, host a group in your home, or in the church building here. We're looking for persons to facilitate those groups. And if you want to get in early and registration, you can also list if you just want to be part of a group as well. Let's lower the lights and take a look at this video invite on 40 Days of Prayer.
Hi, I'm Rick Warren, author of Purpose Driven Life and pastor at Saddleback Church. You know, I've been in ministry for about 45 years, and I've seen God break through all kinds of impossible situations, enormous barriers, overwhelming obstacles, situations you thought there's no way this is going to work out. But time after time, God broke through. And you know what I've learned is that breakthroughs happen when you seek them. They don't just happen spontaneously. Breakthroughs don't happen to people who aren't looking for them. You get a breakthrough in your life when you seek a breakthrough from God. And the way you do that is through prayer. That's why this fall, I want to invite you and your church, your congregation, to join Saddleback and thousands of other churches in what we're calling 40 Days of Prayer. We're going to talk about the kinds of prayer that bring breakthrough in our relationships, in our finances, in the habits that have held us back, in painful memories, and so many, many other areas. If you're interested in breakthroughs in your life, if you're interested in a breakthrough of renewal and revival in your church, If you'd like to see a breakthrough of God in our country, in our nation, I want to invite you to join us, your congregation, in 40 days of prayer this fall, 2017. Write me, and we'll send you all the information.
So we invite you to be part of that. It's one of the intentional ways we can be disciplined as disciples of Jesus and grow together as one. Also want to note that in the hymnal in front of you are stars, additional stars. Last week, we had a tremendous response to lifting up an individual in your life that's perhaps gone on to glory, maybe still alive, and to lift their name up and place it on the tree as a point of witness. We thought that after week one, we would have the lower level decorated, and then we would move that up, and we would add each week. And in 1 week, look at the witnesses that we're giving thanks to God for. If you have additional persons come to mind, you can write those down, use a star, and bring that up during the prayer time or after our worship service today. As we come to this second Sunday of Advent, we're privileged at the 8:30 and 11 services to have Elissa Hart, Benjamin, and Braden come and give a witness and bring light to the Advent wreath. So I invite them to come forward now. We have a stand set for you up there. You can stand up there, yeah? Hey, guys, this is Benjamin and Braden, two special young men that we just love to interact with here, especially on Wednesday nights at Aldersgate. So.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So today, Pastor Troy asked me to talk about a time when God's light has shined in my life. I'm grateful because I've had many times in my life when God's light has shined. But during those times, I haven't realized that it was happening at the time. It's not usually until afterwards when I'm able to look back on these moments and see how he's putting puzzle pieces together for me. 4 years ago, I became a single mom, and that's been the hardest thing I've ever had to go through in my life, emotionally, spiritually, and even financially. I'm a teacher, so at that time, I got a job in the summer to make ends meet. I started working night shift, stocking shelves at Giant. One night, I was on my lunch break, which was 1 o'clock in the morning, and I was scrolling through my phone looking for teaching positions, and I found an opening in another school district, but the application was due that day. I hadn't updated my resume in 7 years, so after working all night, I stayed up all day, finishing my resume, completing all the documents that they needed, and I emailed them in. I got called in for an interview, and they offered me the job. This is unheard of in the teaching world because usually they ask you to go through several rounds of interviews, and then they even ask you to teach a sample lesson, as if the administrators were children. You have to teach a lesson to them. But after one interview, I got it. At the time, I thought, you know, I'm just stocking shelves at Giant. This isn't a big deal. But that was the puzzle piece that connected me to getting my new job, which then led me to buying my house near my school, which then led me to meeting the wonderful woman who watches the boys for me while I'm at work. She's become a wonderful friend of ours, and has led me to meet other wonderful people in my life who have become great friends. And now, next year, when Benjamin's old enough, he'll be able to come to school with me to work with me every day. So it was it was one of those moments where at the time I didn't think it was that big of a deal, but really God was shining his light for me and helping me put the puzzle pieces together. And I'm just grateful that I can see that now. Okay, so the light from the Advent wreath doubles this week to 2 candles. The story of Jesus is one that majors in exponents. You know the algebraic multiplication of numbers that explodes into a total far bigger than we can imagine. God placed a very bright star in the sky to guide the shepherds to the Magi to the Christ child. In the ages since, God has placed countless points of light in the dark night sky of this world. Those stars have pointed the way to Jesus as well, guiding men and women, girls and boys, to Jesus. This Advent, give thanks to those points of light in your life. This Advent, know that you are one of those stars now shining for Jesus and his kingdom. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. You say it. Say it. Jesus is the reason for the season. You say it. Shine, Jesus, shine. Okay, we're going to light the candle now, okay?
So cries out to the living God, burn bright your flame, Emmanuel. I've wandered off and my sight grows dim, burn bright your flame, Emmanuel. Darkness is as light to you, you shine like the new.
Thank Alyssa, Benjamin, and Braden for sharing and for the vulnerability that she models for us in the strength of Christ. Before you in the pews are blue cards. There are prayer cards that we use as a ministry tool to write down joys, thanksgivings, confessions, intercessions. And we invite you, since we have a blocked area to the altar table this morning, just to, during this prayer song and then the offering time during the prayer song, to reflect on anything you want to write down on that. It'll be prayed over this week, and then during the offering, you can place those blue cards in the offering plates as they move through.
It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never.
God, we are grateful for your Holy Spirit that seeks to tune our hearts and connect us as one in praise to you, our Maker, the one who saves us, the one who gives us new life and restores us in the original purpose you have for us, that our lives might glorify you and serve your kingdom work and expansion in this world, in this life, through our living. Heavenly Father, as we gather this day, we're thankful for an Advent season that announces to us that Christ has already been born, and yet announces to us, too, that we live in that place of tension, that the fullness of Christ is yet to be realized here on earth. But we can live and walk and be a people of hope and assurance, no matter what the life circumstances, no matter what the headlines, no matter what the seasons of loss we're in, that indeed Christ has won the victory. And we can rest in that truth and draw strength and joy for the journey through that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ministries that you've birthed in and through Aldersgate Church, some of which are to heal us and help us to attend to our brokenness that we might not descend into being destructive forces in the world. Other ministries to awaken us to the call that we have to be growing in discipline, gathering for study and for fellowship. Other ministries that call us beyond ourselves and our own small worlds to be engaged every day in serving the world you came to save. As we gather here, we are thankful that you are with us in all seasons, but especially in this festival of Advent and Christmas. We pray for the 40 days of prayer ministry that'll be our focus in the next calendar year, and that your Holy Spirit would be speaking to and nudging hearts and lives to host those studies and to be participants in it. Lord, you're trying to do a bigger and a better and a brighter thing through us. Let's just to offer ourselves into your hands as our benevolent King, our Heavenly Father, our perfect parent, to guide and direct us. We pray, Lord, in the midst of the world's headlines and challenges, from the wildfires in California to the ongoing stagnant recovery and great needs in Puerto Rico, for our sisters and brothers in oppressed places because they lift up the name of Jesus, we just ask that in all of it, that your triumphant presence would be sensed, known, and proclaimed, and that you would encourage us in the safety and security of where we are. Encourage us, Lord, to be risk takers this week, to serve and speak and share and witness that we are your followers. We ask these things in the powerful name of the resurrected one, Jesus the Christ, our Lord. Amen. As we prepare to give God's tithes and offerings, I want to note that the angel tree outside, I believe, still has two remaining stars, just one. We're down to one now. And I don't know if it's a coat. The two remaining stars, one was for a woman asking for a coat to keep warm this winter, and another asking for a vacuum cleaner for her apartment. There's one left. And I'm told that this year, 238 gift stars have been taken off that angel tree. That's the highest we've ever recalled. In addition to the Operation Christmas Child boxes that go out, points of light from people that reflect the light of Christ, who's come to save our souls. We have much to give thanks for, and a great God who is present to speak to us in these moments.
Yesterday, we had the opportunity to take the choir over to Bethany and sing the cantata that we're doing today. Miss Zedna Haverstock, is over there. And it was just such a joy to be able to offer it up for those people. I would say there were maybe 45 souls from Bethany that were wheeled in to be able to hear it as we sang. And I just have to say this, the choir couldn't see it because they were facing the people, but I was facing the choir with all of these wheelchairs behind me, and there was a window on either side, and the snow was just softly coming down the whole time we were singing. And I felt like it was like so picturesque. It was just so beautiful. But they were so excited to have us, and it was just it warmed my heart so much to be able to do that. Please don't miss the opportunity of coming out at 3 o'clock this afternoon. The orchestra that we have just sounds so beautiful and supports the choir so wonderfully. So I really hope that you'll take advantage of that. Not because it has anything to do with me at all, but just because I know that it will add to your Advent and Christmas understanding of what it is that God did for us by sending us Jesus. So, well, geez, the offering's done now since I talked so much. We really don't have to sing. But this is called Cradle Worship. Pete Vanderkooy has a solo in it, and I just pray that God would be glorified in what we offer up.
Let us pray. God, you are the source of all that is and all that we have. Receive these gifts and use them, multiply them for the glory of your kingdom work here and forever. And use the breath of life that you've gifted us, however long it abides within our chest. Use it, Lord, to bless others, to speak the gospel, to live grace, to practice humility, to shine for Jesus, who died for us and rose that we might be free from the things that hold us captive. We pray these things all for his glory in and through your holy church. Amen and amen. Second Sunday of Advent, we hear from one of the 12 minor prophets. We human beings, in our wisdom looking at Scripture, identified 12 prophets as less than major. We called them minor prophets, as though their story or their proclamation wasn't quite as major or significant. We're hearing today from Zephaniah, who is one of the most underread, underappreciated, and brutally honest prophets in Scripture. And we hear a bit of a section from Zephaniah chapter 3 that is his prophecy about the coming Messiah. And I invite you to open your ears and your hearts to the good news of Jesus. Beginning with verse 8. "Therefore, wait for me, says the Lord, for the day when I arise as a witness, for my decision to gather nations, to assemble kingdoms, to pour out upon them my indignation, all the heat of my anger. For in the fire of my passion, all the earth shall be consumed." That sounds like a good scripture to read on Christmas Eve when we're about ready to sing Silent Night, right? All is calm, all is bright. I'm going to finish that passage here in a moment, but that's a concluding portion of about 75% of Zephaniah. Zephaniah is three little chapters, a minor prophet, so we say, but he has a major message. Zephaniah has spent 75% of his prophecy up through half of chapter 3, 2.5 chapters. He spent 75% of it screaming out judgment to God's people, then and now. He screams out, "Turn away from chasing earthly gods. Stop chasing temporary joys." He warns us that God's wrath is coming because God's had it up to here with us. 75% of the book of Jeremiah, his entire prophecy, 75% of that is about God's judgment and destruction of the earth. He cries out, now get this, I'm not making this up. This is from the 2.5 chapters thus far. He cries out against wicked political leaders. He cries out against wicked religious leaders. He cries out against the wealthy who would exploit the poor to add to their nests. He cries out about those who've abandoned God. He cries out against those who say God's on their side while turning a deaf ear to God. He cries out in the darkness of that day, and he cries out in the darkness of our days. And then he begins a pivot by saying, "When I arise as a witness, I'll gather the nations and I'll pour out my indignation." That's not a word that most of us use in our daily lives, is it? But it's wrath and anger and disgust. "I'll pour it out in the heat of my anger, for in the fire of my passion, the earth shall be consumed." Merry Christmas. And then a major thing happens in Zephaniah. At that time, I will change the speech of the peoples. I'll change it to pure speech, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord and serve him with one accord, that they may call. He's saying, I'm going to change the speech, and I'm going to allow them to call on the Lord. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, my scattered ones, shall bring my offering. On that day, you shall not be put to shame, because of all the deeds by which you have rebelled against me. For then I will remove from your midst your proudly exultant ones, and you shall no longer be haughty in my holy mountain. I will leave in the midst of you a people humble and lowly. They shall seek refuge in the Lord, the name of the Lord, the remnant of Israel. Zephaniah, this minor prophet, according to our definition, is giving a major prophetic story. He's saying, I have every right in my anger to consume you. I have every right to give you the sentence that you've earned. But I'm going to teach you a new way. He says, I'm going to announce to you that you will not be put to shame for all the wicked things you've done. I'll remove the proud ones and exalt the lowly. I'll leave in the midst of you a people, humble and lowly, who seek refuge in the Lord. He's talking about the coming of Jesus and the birth of Jesus' followers, the church. He's announcing that which you deserve, Troy, put your name in it, you're not going to get. I'm not going to consume you. I'm not going to eliminate you with fire. I'm not going to pour out my indignation. I'm pouring out myself and paying the penalty. You shall not be put to shame because of all the deeds you've done against me. A major turn in this minor prophet's prophecy. He continues, they shall do no wrong and utter no lies, nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouths. Then they will pasture and lie down, and no one shall make them afraid. Saying that in Christ we can be a perfect people, not because we're perfect, but because his perfectness can change our words from lies to truth, from deceit to confession. For the gentle shepherd is going to be our guide. And we don't have to be afraid. I saw a video the other day on YouTube that really just captivated my soul and my attention, and I thought it'd be great to use here. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought I can't do that. It probably would unleash too many emotions. But it was only about a 60-second video of an abused dog, a dog that had been abused from birth and was in a shelter. And the dog is squealing with its tail curled up between its legs in total fear and hunched up. And someone is approaching to feed the dog and try to pet the dog. And the dog is just wailing, crying, wailing. And the hand is reaching in. And it's wailing, afraid it's going to get what it's always gotten. And the person's voice is reassuring and trying to touch the dog. And the first time the hand touches the dog just erupts in a louder squeal. It's painful to watch, to see how a heart can be tuned to fear. But the attendant persists. Before you know it, the dog's wailing turns to a weeping of "I want to trust," and a small yelping. And then it shows the dog months later, frolicking and restored. It's a painful video to watch, especially if you watch it and think, how have I not abused the dog, but not attended to the gifts God's given me the way I need to? And it reminds me of what the Good Shepherd does. He comes in the midst of our brokenness and our fear. And increasingly I hear people say they're worried about the world, they're worried about our nation, they're worried about people's ability to interact with each other without killing each other. Here's the good news. God has come to us in the midst of what we have wrought and brought ourselves. And this Savior is reaching out saying, you don't have to be afraid of the day, of the situations, for I've won the battle. The victory is won. And in this minor prophet, so we call it, with a major prophetic story about Jesus, he makes the pivot. The shepherd will come among us. And because of that, we can sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel, rejoice and exalt with all your heart. The Advent wreath witness this morning was an example of that. Elissa doesn't have to go into all the details of her life, but for us to understand, she probably has some significant struggles along the way. Just think about the time investment and energy investment. And she stands and proclaims the joy and the faithfulness of her God. The prophecy minor, we call it, majorly fulfilled in one ordinary life that then impacts two boys' life and other lives. Can you imagine the lives she impacts in her classroom? That's one star. Look at that tree overflow. You and I must be a witness that Christ has already come. You know, the church sometimes argues and says we shouldn't be singing Christmas hymns or songs until after December 25th. Jesus has already come. We shouldn't pretend he didn't. But here's the good news. He's coming again. And when he comes again, he will restore things fully to the right way God intends. But in the interim, you and I have been given a task, and that is to reflect and shine the light of Christ who's come and taken the penalty. He's excused us from taking the penalty, and he's doing a new thing. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you, verse 15. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. It's a prophecy from Zephaniah about this Christ child. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear. O Zion, do not let your hands grow weak. Don't throw your hands up at the headlines and the things going on and say, what use is it? We are the remnant of Christ. We are the church of Jesus. We are defined not by the headlines, but by the Savior and the God who has taken the penalty that we might have life. And on that day, the Lord your God in your midst, he's a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. Get this. He will renew you in his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. It's saying that God shows up I'm going to condemn and pour out my wrath. And then he's like, no, I'm not. That's not what my nature is. I will pay the penalty myself. I will free them. And then he sings over us. The Lord your God is in your midst. He rejoices over you with gladness. He renews you with his love. He exalts you with loud singing as on a day of festival. That's what Christmas is, you know. It's the festival that Christ the King has come to raise us to new heights of God's work in the world. Anyone have any idea what the economists and market watchers are saying Americans will spend on Christmas this season? Anyone? $700 billion. That's double what it was about 12 years ago. I thought, man, I could come up with a whole list of what $700 billion is. I just know it's a lot. $700 billion. But I'm here today not to ask you to calculate the cost of Christmas on the commercial market. That's not God's economy. Zephaniah announces God's economy. God's economy is he will show up and pay what is not his bill to pay, what is not his debt to retire. He shows up in the economy of his extravagant love and says, I will not abandon that which I am seeking to resurrect. God's economy should cause you and me to calculate the cost. This God shows up, takes the penalty, gives us new life. And then in doing it, he sings over us. And we thought Christmas Eve was about us gathering with candlelight to sing over the baby. It's okay to do that. But did you hear? He's singing over you. He's singing joyfully in what he has created and is saving. On that day, it'll be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness, renew you in his love. He will exalt over you in loud singing as on a day of festival. His prophecy concludes, I will remove disaster from you so you will not bear reproach. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time. I will save the lame. Gather the outcast. Sound like Jesus? I will change their shame into praise and renowned in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home. At that time, I will gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. Indignation's a word we don't use in our daily walk too much. How about the word renowned? Renown's a great old word. We don't use it much, but it means to make famous, to make the talk of other people. In this Zephaniah prophecy, he's saying when God comes and pays our debt and resurrects us and sings over us, his purpose is to make us renowned, famous, well-known, talked about. Why? Because we shine for Jesus. And because in our witness, we glorify the Savior who is Christ our Lord. In medieval Europe, the kingdom ran out of silver and had no more silver to make coins. The king said, go looking for silver everywhere. We need to find more to make our economy function. They came back and reported, sir, the only silver we have found are the silver statues in the great cathedrals to our God. And the king said, take those statues down. melt them, and put God's saints back in circulation. Isn't that a cool story? Zephaniah is saying God comes not to transact an economical action, but to put his people back into circulation. Until Christ arrives again, I don't care what the headline, I don't care how fearful or dark or anxious the world causes our souls to become in the moment, hear the call of Christ. Be joyful. Be joy-filled beyond the circumstances of life. Sing aloud, O Israel, rejoice, for here's the good news. Do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause you great joy. For to you this day is born in the city of David, Bethlehem, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. The shepherds were joy-filled. And the people of Christ in 2017 and 2018 going forward must be no less. For we know the rest of the story. He showed up in my life and said, Troy, I understand you have a mighty debt to pay. I understand your way and your design often fails and is contrary to your Maker's intent. I'm here to collect that bill. And by the way, I pay it too, the Savior says. And I pay it that you might be filled with joy and become famous among the circles you walk in because you shine for Jesus. Do you desire this week, wherever you go, you're in the mission field. Do you desire to shine for the baby Christ that we're going to sing to on Christmas Eve? Because when you're out there this week in that workplace, in that school place, in the everyday ordinary place of life, when you're there, the Lord of life, the Savior of your soul and mind is singing joyfully over you. This is my child whom I've redeemed. And we're called to echo that joy right back. Would you join me in prayer? Lord God, as we go from here, we need your word. We need to be a hope-filled people, not ignoring what's going on in our world, but stating the case that Christ is present, winning the victory, and that you indeed have made us a witness to be renowned for you. Bless this gathering and bless our dispersing into the world. We go to so many different places, but wherever we are, help us to hear the strains of your good news voice crying out to us from the angels in heaven that we might praise you with our everyday ordinary breath this Advent and always. Make us a joy-filled people that are contagious this week. In Christ's name. Amen. I invite you to take a look at this video before we rise and sing our way into the world.
the sound of angels are, the sound of angels' songs, and all this for a king. This song of ours will rise. How constant, how divine. This love of ours will rise, will rise. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. He is holy. He is holy. Salvation come, the sound of rescued ones, and all this for a king. Angels join to sing, all for Christ the King. Here.